Good day and welcome. I'm Paul Levoy, Editor-in-Chief of Ascend Magazine.
And I'm Sarah Riven, Government Affairs Director at Thentia.
And this is Week in Brief, your weekly roundup of the biggest news in licensure, regulation, and digital government for the week of July 16th, 2023.
Today, we'll be rounding up the top stories of the week, including digital asset regulation, steps towards psychiatric nurse regulation in Newfoundland, more licensing reciprocity for military spouses, and more. Texas and Louisiana have become the latest states to enact legislation establishing licensure requirements for digital asset service providers. When we talk about digital assets, we're essentially talking about cryptocurrency regulation, although there are other types of digital assets too.
Let's start with what Texas did in particular. What can you tell us about their regulatory moves there?
In June, Texas enacted House Bill 1666, which established a number of protections for consumers. Some of the main regulations require digital asset service providers, or firms that provide access to digital assets for consumers, to maintain reserves so that those firms can always fulfill their obligations to consumers, allow consumers to withdraw funds at any time, keep customer funds separate from the provider's funds, and more.
Okay, and what about Louisiana?
Also last month, Louisiana enacted Senate Bill 185, which amended existing regulatory policies. The new law requires much more information from providers in order for them to obtain a license, such as providing audited financial statements and certificates showing insurance coverage.
Can you tell us about the motives behind these policies?
With all regulation coming out related to cryptocurrency and other digital assets, both at the state and the national level, the primary objectives are really maintaining the safety and soundness of the financial system and ensuring the adequacy of protections for both investors and consumers. And that's really clear in both moves in Texas and Louisiana.
Newfoundland and Labrador's Health Minister Tom Osborne says a new pilot project this fall will allow out-of-province licensed psychiatric nurses to work in the province.
What inspired the minister to make this announcement?
Well, to begin, the move is meant to improve psychiatric care for citizens in the province and to help reduce the province's nursing shortage. Like many other jurisdictions we talk about, the province has wrestled with a nursing shortage for some time now, and there are hundreds of vacancies. The province also struggles to keep pace with the need for mental health and addiction services. These are the same services registered psychiatric nurses have delivered for decades in Western Canada. Take the case of Jasmine Shepherd. She studied to become a registered psychiatric nurse in Winnipeg, Manitoba, and just graduated this past spring. But she wants to move back home to Newfoundland to work. As she put it, "I can go to places like Ireland and New Zealand and Dubai and work, so it's disheartening to know that all these other places are open for me, but I can't go home."
How are psychiatric nurses regulated?
Currently, no one can actually work as a psychiatric nurse in the province because the profession is simply unregulated. As it stands, the College of Nurses of Newfoundland and Labrador doesn't have the authority to regulate registered psychiatric nurses. Nurses working in other provinces can't be hired in Newfoundland and Labrador because their credentials just aren't recognized and can't be.
That sounds like a big gap in workforce employment opportunities. How is the province working around this?
This pilot project would give the province's health services the ability to hire registered psychiatric nurses, basically.
Would this be a permanent change?
No, it would only be temporary. Making this change permanent will require a legislative amendment to the Registered Nurses Act to allow the Nurses College to regulate registered psychiatric nurses.
So what's next? Is legislation being considered?
Well, Osborne himself hopes that legislative action will happen before the end of 2023. He said more details, like how many registered psychiatric nurses will be hired and where they will actually work, will be released when the pilot project is officially announced in the fall.
A coalition advocating for license reciprocity for military spouses announced last week that it has expanded to 7 members and has launched a new website. The move reflects new statistics, which are part of a study conducted in May of this year that showed high public approval for military spouse access to reciprocal licensure and also a dire need for that reciprocity.
What can you tell us about the coalition?
The coalition is called the Alliance for States Providing Interoperable Reciprocity, or ASPIRE. Its new members include Blue Star Families, National Military Spouse Network, and Women Veterans Interactive, among others.
What did they point to as the key issue here?
So nearly 15% of military spouses cross state lines every year, and those moves can be tough on military families. You know, spouses have transferable skills, but they can't always find work right away, especially if their professions require longer licensure processes. Kathy Roth Duquette, CEO of Blue Star Families, says she's proud her organization is part of the coalition to support military families. And she said, quote, "The last thing families need is to drop one income simply because transferring licenses is time consuming and expensive."
That's fair. Can you tell us more about the support for reciprocity in the report and the next steps involved?
Well, the key statistic is 93% of respondents agreed we need to make it easier for military spouses to find new work. As far as next steps go, while 34 states already have reciprocity legislation in place as of March of this year, ASPIRE, the coalition, is calling for improved digital systems to actually be able to facilitate license access.
Rhode Island is now the 41st state or territory to enact the Nurse Licensure Compact. Governor Daniel McKee had signed it into law on June 24th, but it's now official. As we know, the compact allows registered nurses and licensed vocational nurses to practice in person or via telehealth in Rhode Island, as well as other compact states with one multi-state license.
Well, we talk a lot about providing access to licensure across state lines. I'm guessing in this instance, it's also because the state is dealing with nursing shortages.
That's right. State Senator Joshua Miller, who supported the legislation, said joining the compact is an important way they can make it easier and more attractive for nurses to work.